We got another baptism today. Jeff, the bass player's daughter, was baptized in the 9 o'clock service. So we got another one coming up here to into this service. I got those Georgia glasses off. Whew, I thought I was going to fumble the prayer request. Whew, glad to get that off. All right. Now, it seemed like, you know, everywhere I went, everybody I talked to, and every private message that I got, that somebody's hurt. Bad times, whether a loss in their family or a job or, you know, just a financial crisis. But it just seemed like everywhere I looked, there was just lots of difficult times around us. And I spoke to a lot of different folks, and I talked to them about how to be thankful. And even in bad times. But you know, somebody that's having a hard time, somebody that's hurt, it's hard to be thankful. You know, how do you be thankful if the doctor just told you that it's cancer? How do you be thankful if someone walks in and says, "I don't love you anymore"? And I'm leaving you for someone else. And how are you going to be thankful if you got this chronic illness with just continuous pain? Just doesn't get any better. You know, and one guy told me, he said, "Hey, how am I supposed to be thankful? I haven't worked in a year." You know. And I'm a financial disaster. How can you be thankful in that? How do you expect me to be thankful, Jim, when I've lost a child? My spouse just died. Yet the Bible tells us to always be thankful. And it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. 1 Thessalonians, it's up top of your outline, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you really want to know God's will for your life, part of this will is for you to give thanks in all circumstances. The key to this verse is in one little word, in. In. It says in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. You know, God doesn't expect you to be grateful for everything in your life, because there's a lot of bad in your life. And that would just be sicko if you were grateful for the bad in your life. It would be stupid to be grateful for sin and suffering that it causes. You know, I'm not grateful when a child is molested. I'm not grateful when a lady is raped. I'm not grateful when someone gets cancer. And by the way, I want you to include on your prayer list a pastor friend of mine, John Beasley. He's going to be having liver cancer surgery. They're going to, would you tell me, going to remove 75% of his liver this week, tomorrow? You guys remember John. And so, you know, I'm not thankful for that. You know, when someone gets cancer, I'm not thankful for the injustice in the world. But there's some things that, you know, this injustice and all that, there's some things that you ought to get mad about. I mean, that really, that's evidence of love. You know, if somebody, you know, hurts my wife or my kids, I get angry. You know, and God gets angry when he sees evil in the world. But it says, be thankful in all circumstances, even in the darkest times when everything is seems to be falling apart, there's always some good things that I can be, that I can thank God for in everything. So how can, the question is, how can I be thankful when I don't feel like it? Does that make any sense? How can I be thankful when I don't feel like it? And to do that, there's some things that we can always be thankful for. And so that's what we're going to look at. The Bible gives us at least five things that we can always be thankful for. I don't know what some of you guys are going through. I know it's hard, and I know it's tough, and I know it's painful. But I want to give you five things that we can be thankful for. And we're going to talk about three of them today and two next week, because we're going to eat next week. I'm looking forward to that. But we, you know, I was listening to Lee sing and Tate in the 9 o'clock service, and I realized we express our thankfulness to God in several ways, and one of them is sing. It really is. We're thankful when we sing to Him. We're thankful when we pray. You know, we're thankful when we give and when we remember. Like I said, being thankful is commanded. It's not a suggestion. He said, be thankful in all circumstances. So let's get right into it. Number one, I can always thank God for the grace that God shows me. I can always be thankful for that. For the grace. Now, grace is something, I don't know how long some of you guys been coming to church, you know, but we talk about grace a lot. And so I wanted to kind of tell you what this grace is. Grace is when God gives me what I need and not what I deserve. That's what grace is. When you hear Christians talk about grace, I'm thankful for His grace. That's what it is, because grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. You know, and so everything in life is a gift of God's grace. The very air that I breathe, the very next heartbeat that happens is a gift of God's grace. The mind that you have is a gift of God's grace. You know, if God hadn't have decided to create you to love you and me, then we wouldn't even exist. It's all God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says this: you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. You know, you and I, we can't earn our way to heaven. You and I, we can't work hard enough to get there. I can't buy my way there, and I can't bargain or trade my way there. It's just a flat-out gift of God's grace. You know, and salvation is a gift that you and I receive. And according to this, the only thing that you and I have to do is to believe. Is to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ came, that He died for your sins. That He reconciled you to God. He paid that ticket. The church word we call about being paid that way is redeemed. And you'll hear Lee and him sing about that a lot. Thank God I'm redeemed. He bought it. And it was all done. He is Jesus. It was all done by Jesus, not you and I. Not about what we've done. And I love the next verse that I put in there out of Psalm 103. It's kind of David. He gives us a list of God's grace. It says like this: I will not forget the glorious things that God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. I love to see, close my eyes and see David write that. You can see him write it with the affection that he has for the Father. And it's just a wonderful list. But if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't even exist. I can always be thankful for God's grace. You and I, we don't deserve anything. He gives us the very next second of our life. So I'm grateful for God's grace. Number two, I can always thank God for the plans that He has for me. I can be thankful for the plans God has for me. Because God has good plans for your life. Now, it's real obvious. I mean, I'm around, I'm not cooped up in some office, and I'm around and I talk to people and I see you. It's pretty obvious that life's not always good. There's lots of things that are sad. And there's lots of things that are painful. Life's tough. We have a saying around here, if you're new here, that says, life ain't easy when it's easy. It hurts. And life's just not always good, but God is always good. God's plan for your life is always good. A fellow told me, he said, well, Jim, I'm going to tell you, my life doesn't feel so good. It just doesn't feel so good. Well, not everything in your life that happens, God planned. I want to tell you, as your pastor, don't blame God for your mistakes. Don't blame God for your choices. You know, when I say that God has a plan for your life, that doesn't mean that you're in it. Does that make any sense? You could be out of God's plan for your entire life. Do you know why? You have to choose to be in it. You have to choose to be in His plan. God says in His Word that there are many ways that seem right to man, but in the end they lead to death and destruction. You got to choose God's plan. I've made some bad choices sometimes, and I suspect that some of you made some bad choices. Is that right? Well, I guess I'm the only one. This is one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11. I have good plans for you, says the Lord. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. You know, some people, when they talk to me, they believe that they worship a God who causes all of their suffering. It's just not true. I found out when I read the book of Isaiah that I worship a God who bears all my suffering. Let me read you that and kind of soak on these words. Isaiah 53:5-6, if you'd like to go back and look at that one of these days, says this: but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him, He's talking about Jesus here, the iniquity of us all. You know what I wrote out beside mine? Our God don't just watch. Our God is not watching what happens. He said, I'll take your transgressions. I'll die for you. I'll bear your suffering. He took it on Himself. He says He was bruised for our transgressions. We have a God who suffers with us, and then He takes on our suffering on Himself, and then He dies in our place. God said the plan, said there had to be blood to do this. And Jesus said, I'll do it. God does not plan the sins. He doesn't plan the ones that others do that hurt you. But I'm going to tell you about that. God's plan is bigger than both of those. Your sins and the sins that hurt you. God knows every stupid mistake and sin that you and I are going to make. And you know what he says? I can fit that in, Kyle. I can fit that into my plan. You know what? Ty, God knows how others are going to hurt you. He knows how others may try to harm you. He says, Ty, that ain't good. He said, that's not good, but I can fit that into my plan. For you, I can fit that in there. He says, I can use that. You see, God has no plan B for your life. I mean, no plan C, no plan D, E, or F. It's his plan. It always has been. He said, Conga boy, I didn't want this stuff to happen in your life. I didn't want that hurt. But I can use it. You know, he says, Jim, I didn't want you to get hurt, but you walked off and wanted to do your own thing. And it happened. He says, but Jim, you know what? I can fit that into the plan I already have for you. And I can be thankful for that. For a consistent God. So you can expect God to use your hurts. You can expect God to use your disappointments, your failures, and your pain in your life. It's that. The other thing I love about God is that he does have the plan, and once you put your hand in his hand, whether you realize it or not, he's bringing you to heaven with you. You may try to take your hand out of his, but he's got you. He's got you. God's not going to let go of your hand. And you put your hand in his when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's something to be thankful for. You know, because it doesn't depend on me to keep myself saved. That's huge. Not once I place my hand in his, I'm saved. I'm covered. He's not going to let go. I may want to walk away, and I may want to let go. He's never let go. He's not going to let go. Sometimes we doubt God's plan, though. Some of you guys know, I talked to a lot of people that have gone through a lot of tragedy. I work at a funeral home. And then even before that, but, you know, one of my best friends is the funeral director here at Barton's, and that's where I work part-time. And lots of times folks don't have a preacher. And so I like short funerals, so I get recommended a lot. So I speak at a lot of funerals. I don't know how many I've spoken at. But they're all tough. And what I found out is there's different levels of tough, you know. When they're elderly, when they're like 90-something or something like that, it's tough to let go of someone. I mean, it really is. But when they're 50s, 60s, it's a little tougher. You know, and then when it's your spouse, it's tough. When it's a murder, it's tough. You know, and suicide's really, really tough. A child, I can't even begin to tell you how tough it is on the parents. And especially when it's, a suicide. As a child, it's tough. You know, and it's because it's not natural for the kids to die before the parents. But in these times, lots of times I'm really encouraged, because folks, they don't question their faith in God, but they do question the plan. They do question God's plan. There's a big difference in this. You know, they've looked at me before and said, I can't believe this is part of the plan. You know, but they know God is a good God, and he's a loving God. But they question his plan. And it's kind of like my kids. My kids are 21 and 17, and they have never questioned that I love them. Never have. But they have doubted my wisdom. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will. But everything that happens in this world, God allows. He permits. Because we live in a world where there's free choices. And if I make the wrong choice, I can't blame God for that. He gave me that free will. But I know and I believe that God will answer all those questions one of these days. So many times when tragedy hits, or you're mistreated, or you know, you just hit the skids, you look for an explanation. And do you know what that is? Dumb. It's dumb. Explanations never comfort. They never help you at all. I want to tell you, don't waste a bunch of time trying to figure out the why. You can't figure out all the bad that's happening in the world. Your brain's not big enough. Stop asking and stop killing so much time on the why, and just trust in the one who's got the plan. Because a lot of things that's happening in your life, you're just not going to know about and know why they're happening. When you get to heaven, you'll see it. You know, and because when you're going through a tough time, what you need is not an explanation. What you need is the presence of God. Need the presence of God. Explanations won't help, but the presence of God will. You know, one of the reasons that I can be thankful in my darkest times is, you know, back to my favorite chapter, Romans 8. Verse 28 says this: we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes it takes me a while to get here. But I'm angry and upset or hurt. But when I get here, so much is lifted off of me. Because I know that whatever that I go through, I know that if I give these things to the Lord, that God will bring good out of it. I know that. It's happened time and time again. I love the old saying that God loves to turn crucifixion into resurrection. And He'll do that in your life. When I even read that, I just want to say, glory! God turns crucifixion into resurrection. Don't that make y'all want to say glory too? Well, why don't we say it? I say, God loves to turn crucifixion into resurrection. Glory! I'm the only one saying it. That's all right. I won't put you on the spot. When you're cutting grass, say it. That's when I say it. God just might want to bless the world through your pain. He just might. Number three. I can always thank God for His promise to never leave me. I love this one. Think about this. There's not a moment in your life that God's not with you. Now, for some of us, that might not sound so good because you're kind of growing up and your parents may have used it as a scare tactic. Mama used it on me. Because I was wild. She said, "No, sonny, you know God's watching." I said, "Really?" And, you know, he said, God's got His eye on you. I didn't know that was actually based on a biblical truth. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you and I will never abandon you." Let me tell you about that scripture as I learned about it when I got older. That scripture isn't there to coerce us out of trouble. It's actually there to comfort us in trouble. That He will never leave us or abandon. What that tells me is there's not a situation in life that we can find ourselves where we have to travel alone. That God is always with us. He never ever leaves us. I love this verse because there's no fine print in this promise. It says, "I will never leave you. I will never abandon you." You can't read it any other way. "I will never leave you. I will never abandon you." He says, "Jim, I will never leave you." He says, "Lexus, I will never abandon you." Isn't that wonderful? And in my 52 years, He's never left. He's never abandoned me. Oh, I felt like it. But then I realized He was there the whole time. The whole time. He will never leave us, period. Isaiah 43:2. This is absolutely wonderful here. If you guys are going through some tough times, you take this verse. I don't know what you're going through today, but listen to this. "When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you." It will not consume you. I'm not sure what deep waters you're walking through or what you're currently dealing with. I'm not sure what fires are kind of nipping at your heels right now. But this is, it will not consume you. It will not consume you. I'm sure in a crowd this size and one in a 9 o'clock service that there's lots and lots of feelings of abandonment. Somebody might have walked out on you. And you felt like, "God, are you really with me? Are you really here? Am I alone?" The answer is no, you're not. You're not. I don't care how you feel. You're not. I don't know what's got you worried today. But one of the best ways to be thankful is to recognize this promise that God will never leave you. I want to pray. We're going to close. I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. It's over in Philippians. Philippians is in the New Testament. And I don't know about y'all, but The only way I can remember where Philippians are is I have a little thing I go by, guys eat popcorn. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So when I find one of those, I say, guys eat popcorn. Can't find it. They ain't eating too much popcorn right now. I'm going to find it. Guys eat popcorn. Guys eat popcorn. Now y'all know my study habit. Here we go. We're on the eat. Philippians. 4:6 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Everything with thanksgiving. So let's close in prayer. Y'all pray for Lee again. I see he's over there still hurting. That meant my prayers didn't go above the ceiling. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I'm so thankful this young man wants to be baptized. This young man has accepted you as his Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful for your grace that you gave him what he needed instead of what he deserved. And I'm so glad you gave me what I need. I love your grace. I'm thankful that I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to work for it. I'm thankful that I can't lose it either. You got me by your hand. Lord, I'm thankful for the people around me. And there again, I pray for Lee again. Heal him, Lord. Lord, we're about to be baptized. We're about to end this service. And I hope what we've done has pleased you today. We sure do love you. I'm glad you're here with us. You never abandon us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.